Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Mark K. from The Mark K. Show. You hear me every day from 10 a.m. to noon on News 104.5 WOKV. First of all, thanks for listening to The Mark K. Show podcast. Second, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Burrish Daily Discussion podcast and Jacksonville's Morning News interviews. And don't forget to head to iTunes and Google Play and leave a review. Thanks for listening.
I've got to get Mark K. more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark K.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
2 full hours of the Mark K. show starts right now.
If you're having a bad day, just remember, you're not the guy that burned down Notre Dame.
That is definitely a cloud or silver lining on a very dark cloud. Hey, thanks for that open mic message.
Imagine being the insurance company for that construction crew. Oh my God, I would hate to see that bill.
Well, I mean, look, yes, that's true, but we also don't know that it is the construction crew yet. They have not yet said it was the construction crew. They haven't said that it's terrorism, but I'm going to be honest with you. That's always my first guess. As a Catholic and as a conspiracy theorist, I believe that it was some form of domestic and or international anti-Catholic, anti-French terrorism. That's always my, and prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Prove that it was an errant construction worker, you know, I don't know, flicking his cigarette butt into an 890-year-old structure. Prove that it was some kind of, a faulty electrical cord on a power drill. Prove that it was somebody, kicking over. I mean, I don't even know what, the thing's been standing for 900 years. It's not like you just knock over a candle and burn it down. It was built by candlelight. It was built before there was electricity. I don't understand. Clearly to me, this seems like a nefarious act. But again, I just always, I'm a very cynical person. No matter how cheery I seem on the outside, inside, it's like a deep well of note of antitrust and or distrust. Antitrust would mean that I don't have a monopoly inside of me, but it would be distrust and cynicism. It's a really dark place inside my body, so stay out. Anyway, that's where we are today. 855-765-1045. The Cathedral of Notre Dame. We all watched burn to the ground. By the way, Shepard Smith, that guy, I mean, he is so emo, that guy. I've met a lot of emotional people, but that guy is so emo. I had to turn away. I literally had to turn away from Fox News because Shepard Smith was really, I mean, he was over the top with the descriptions of Notre Dame burning to rubble, the artifacts of 1,000 years disintegrated into nothing. Ashes to, and I was just like, dude, come on. So I had to actually listen to Chris Cuomo, who was surprisingly less emotional. But then, what happened was I turned over to CNN and they covered the, I guess, Fox News and CBS and NBC. They were covering the thing for hour, like pretty much the entire day. CNN covered it for a little while and then they put it like in the split screen. They put it in the corner and they went back to the Mueller report because the Mueller report, I mean, they were really excited about that. Yeah, the church burning, that's big news. That's a downer. But hey, let's talk about this Mueller report, which is coming out in 3 days because that's big news. Let's leave the site of the live fire that is happening right now. And we don't even know. At that point, they didn't even know if the towers were going to collapse. They didn't know what the impact was going to be overall on the structure of the church. It was the number one story. The French president, the United States president, all commenting on it. Bishops from all over the world. The Pope, everyone eagerly anticipating a statement from the Pope. Mourners in Paris standing around singing hymns in the streets. And CNN puts it in the corner so that they can talk about the Mueller report, which is coming out in 3 more days. That's their breaking news. And And so anyway, so then I just turned it all off and I watched online because that's where, hey, we had a lot of people watching us online. I figure I might as well do the same thing. But a lot of people have different opinions about this. But if you look at the facts, and again, this is the conspiracy theory, theorist. I mean, I know it's not Conspiracy Theory Thursday, but this thing happened on a Monday. So we're moving things around a little bit. But you look at it, it happened minutes after it closed, right? So it seems to me that it's somebody who maybe was in there, did something right before closing, that kind of thing, and the whole, you know, when the whole place it goes ablaze. Or it's somebody that like hates the Catholic Church or doesn't like France or just wants to make a statement but doesn't want to kill anybody. Because if you think about it, the place, I mean, there was nobody there. They cleared out all the tourists. They cleared out everyone that was there taking pictures and looking at the gargoyles and wanting to see the Crown of Thorns, which they saved. But that was like the good news. They had, I mean, think about this, the amount of relics and artifacts and pieces of art. You've got all these firemen, and the first thing they're doing is they're like, look, just save all the stuff inside. It's older than most countries. I mean, the stuff that they saved, this church is four times older than the United States of America. Think about that. Think about that for a minute. It's four times older than our country. So they're running in. All these firemen are trying to save. They're trying to save the artifacts. They're trying to save the paintings. They're trying to save the Crown of Thorns, which it's rumored to be the actual one that sat on Jesus Christ's head when he was crucified. Just days before Easter, just literally days before he was actually crucified. I mean, think about this story. Tell me that's not nefarious, the timing of this. Holy Week in one of the holiest places, in one of the most Catholic cities in the entire world. One of these symbols. I mean, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, as a Catholic, is probably top three as the symbols of Catholicism. You've got, of course, the Vatican. You've got Notre Dame. And you've got, well, I don't know. I'm not a good Catholic. I just said I'm a Catholic. So I'm sure there's a third one. Maybe St. Patrick's. Who knows? But you've got all these symbols of Catholicism. And that's one of the biggies. And it comes burning down after 1,000 years. To me, that just seems like somebody did something more so than just a construction worker accidentally started this fire. Also, the construction workers were outside. I mean, they were on scaffolding, right? If you're a construction worker and you're out there working, I mean, there's construction all over the place. It doesn't necessarily equate to burning something down. Well, this building that we're in right now was under construction for like a year, and it didn't burn down. And I'll be honest with you, if it did burn down, I guarantee it wouldn't be the construction workers. It would be an angry ex-employee. That's my, I mean, 100%. Anything ever happens here at the radio station, I have a list of people that we've fired who were not happy about it. And I will submit that to the police and they can investigate one by one by one. But I don't know. Something to me is it just does not smell right. And they've been quick to conclude that it's not terrorism, but I think they've been a little too quick to conclude it, especially since France and Notre Dame have been the target of terrorists in the past. They found, what was it, in 2016, they found a guy with like seven propane tanks parked out front, and they had to clear him out of there. They've had ISIS try to come in and swarm the place. I'm sure there have been tons of threats against Notre Dame and other you know, places in Paris. The Catholic Church, look, the Catholic Church is not the most loved organization in the entire world. Trust me, I'm a Catholic. I know. As a white male American Catholic, there's more reasons to hate me in this world than to love me. There are a ton of people that despise Catholics just for being Catholics. There are a ton of people that despise the Catholic Church as an organization. Look at all the scandals that have been coming out. Tell me that maybe someone isn't upset about the scandals or the way they were treated by a priest when they were younger. And this is their sick way of getting revenge. It just seems to me way too early to dismiss this as an accident or as not an act of terror. Again, I have no information whatsoever. I have no inside sources. I've received no credible evidence. I'm just saying, from the get-go, from 300,000 feet or whatever, 30,000 or however the hell high we are, that's just my take. 855-765-1045. All right, listen, we got some of your open mic messages. We got some of your phone calls coming up, too. There's a lot we have to talk about. First of all, there's Notre Dame. Also, with the cap hat debate continues. Yesterday, I got from Ken, a good friend of ours who watches the show online every day, who calls in. You know, he drives a Jeep, hangs out at Hurricanes. Very nice guy. He sent me a Keep America Great hat, and it immediately sparked a new debate on our Facebook page and with our open mics about whether or not it is indeed a hat or a cap.
Technically, your Keep America Great cap is a cap, but in common usage, anything that someone wears on their head can be termed a hat.
Right, so my headphones are a hat, and the napkin that the other Josh just put on his head is now a hat. So, I don't know, so it's confusing. Is it a cap? Is it a hat? We may never actually know the truth, but there are a lot of people that think they know either way. Also, we've got to talk about this cup thing at the St. Augustine Amphitheater, because apparently it's like a really big deal. Quick break. More of the Markay Show coming up. 855-765-1045. We'll be right back on News 104.5 WOKV.
That's too coincidental. If it's not terrorism, then it must have been Madonna step foot in that church or something like that.
I get it, because she threatened to blow up the White House once. I get it. Or because she's a bad Catholic. And there was a music video, right, where she walked into church and all the crosses. Was that like a virgin or something? Or Papa Don't Preach. That's what it was. All the crosses were burning. I get it. That was an old reference. That was a dated reference, but a good one. Hey, thanks so much for the open mic message. You want to send us an open mic message? All you have to do is go to our downloadable mobile app, which I guess is redundant because all mobile apps are downloadable. You can go to the iTunes Store, go to the Google Play Store, get the app, send us an open mic message, and we will play it on the air. Doc in Riverside. What's up, Doc?
Hey, Mark, just like the Jesse Smollett situation,
yeah.
I think you and myself, I think we called it up front. We smelt something fishy.
Yeah.
On this situation right here, I think they're trying to cover it up because we smell radical Islamic terrorists.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want to say it because it's defeating. It's kind of like they're trying to save a drowning man and pretend he's not drowning.
Yeah.
But we're calling it like it is, man. I smell radical Islamic terrorists all over the situation.
I'll tell you what, and that may be, but I don't even necessarily think it's that. And here's why. The place was closed. Radical Islamist terrorists or Islamic terrorists, they would do it when the place was open. They would walk right in and start throwing firebombs around because they'd want to kill as many people as possible. But I do think that the Catholic Church has a lot of enemies that, while maybe they don't want to commit murder, would love to send some kind of a message. I just don't think it's as cut and dry as, oh, there was a problem with the construction crew and it started the fire. I just don't think that's the answer. But, yeah, I mean, look, you could be right, too. I am a little shocked that no one has come out and said, we saw two men with red MAGA hats just moments before the blaze started, because that's usually the go-to, right? It's like, Le Chapeau Rouge with the Make America Great Again. That's what happened. That's usually what we didn't see any of that. Although people were making fun of Donald Trump for office. Poor Donald Trump. Poor Donald Trump. Dude can't even can't have an idea without the whole world coming down on top. He went out on Twitter and he was like, this is so sad. Why? And again, I don't have the actual tweet, but it was like, this is so sad watching the whole thing. Maybe they could get some flying water, planes to drop water on it, or flying water tankers to drop water on it, which you would think, you know, is a decent idea. But everybody was just, they just started berating him. Oh, that's a dumb idea. Don't you know it would collapse the whole church? Well, no, he doesn't, because he's a businessman. He's not an engineer. He's just thinking, how do we save the building? How do we put out the fire? Well, if it's a forest fire, you know what they do? They dump a bunch of water on it. But the guy can't even have an idea without getting raked through the coals, raked over the coals. I probably shouldn't say raked over the coals when I'm talking about a burning church. But the guy can't have an idea without getting attacked from all sides. Like the other time, he had this idea. He's like, hey, what if we take all the illegals and we put them in the sanctuary cities? What about that? And people are like, that's what is wrong with that's a horrible idea. So now he's saying perhaps flying water tankers could be used to put it out. Must act quickly. And then everyone's on Twitter going, oh, yes, Donald Trump. I'm sure they're sitting around like no one's thought of that. Oh, you're such a moron. Star 1045. Let's go to Lorenzo from Jacksonville. Lorenzo, hi. How are you? Thanks for calling the Markay Show.
Yes, I'm to your rescue again. It's a difference between a cap and a hat. Also, it's other headgear, parades, bonnet, Easter bonnet, all towns are given. Each one have a particular shape.
All right, so what? All right, so Lorenzo, what is a hat and what is a cap? Is the Make America Great Again, is that a cap or a hat?
A cap is what Donald Trump brought out.
Okay.
Make America Great Cap. It's all Donald Trump fought again. It wasn't no controversy about caps and hats before Make America Great.
I mean, I didn't even think there was now. What is a hat then? What constitutes a hat?
A hat have a brim and cowboy roll hat. They didn't wear caps.
So a hat has to have a brim like all the way around?
Right, got to go all the way around. Cap, just like Sherlock Holmes wore a cap, although he had two beards, one in the front and one in the back. He wore a cap.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, thanks so much for calling. That guy. People are passionate about their hat caps. I didn't even know this was a controversy until yesterday when Ken sent me that Keep America Great Again cap, which apparently is the right here. 855-765-1045 is the number. 855-765-1045. Speaking of controversies, they're doing something at the St. Augustine Amphitheater that is causing a little bit of controversy. If you're headed out to a show there, I mean, anytime after today, you're going to want to know about this. 855-765-1045. Quick break. More of the Mark Kaye Show coming up next on News 104.5 WOKV.
The Madonna reference has to do with her music video to the song Like a Prayer.
Oh, that's what it was, Like a Prayer. I should have known that. It wasn't Papa Don't Preach, and it wasn't Like a Virgin. It was Like a Prayer, where she walked into the church and everything started burning. I get it. Hey, thanks so much for clearing that up. I knew there would be some Madonna lovers out there. I knew there were a couple left. 855-765-1045 is the number. 855-765-1045. That, of course, is referring to the burning of Notre Dame. We're trying to figure out how this whole thing started. I, for one, am not buying the whole construction problem, like the construction workers caused it. I drive by construction every day, and it doesn't catch on fire. I don't know. It's a 1,000-year-old building. 1,000 years old. And you're telling me that it now gets burned down just by construction work? Like all the lightning that has hit that building in the past how many years? You know how many times that building had to have been hit by lightning in 1,000 years? With that spire right there? Come on. Maybe not as many because the Eiffel Tower, I think, gets the brunt of the lightning. But still, 855-765-1045. This is Michael in Jacksonville. Michael, hey, how you doing? Thanks for calling the Mark Kaye Show.
Yeah, I'm doing great.
Oh, good. What'd you want to say,
long-time
sir?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, cool. Yay. What'd you want to say today?
I just wanted to try to clarify the hat and the cap thing.
Yeah.
You can answer it with a simple question, and that is, have you ever heard of a baseball hat?
I mean, no, I never have heard of a baseball hat.
Right, because they're called baseball caps.
Right, I got it. But I've heard of a trucker hat, and a trucker hat is not, like, you don't call it a trucker cap, do you?
I've never heard of that.
You never heard of a trucker hat? Come on. It's got the big polyester foam in the front, and it's got the mesh in the back, and whenever I wear them, and I get this weird sunburn on the back of my bald head that looks like a waffle iron. Or on half of my head, like, yeah, come on. So, yes, it's a baseball cap, but it's a trucker hat, and they both are very similar. So which is it? 855-765-1045. By the way, I'd like to point out we've been on the air for over 2 years, and the first time that guy called wasn't about Donald Trump, wasn't about Mueller, wasn't about Russian collusion, wasn't about Hillary Clinton, wasn't about any of that. It was about whether or not it was a baseball hat or a baseball cap. So you never know what's going to get people passionate enough to pick up the phone and dial 855-765-1045. Tim in Jacksonville, how are you, Tim?
Good morning, Mark. Listen, I really do appreciate you thinking outside the box with regards to this church burning. But listen to me on this.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it okay that 9/11 truthers are criticized or critiqued or even laughed at when they bring up substantive questions such as, how building number 7, the third building that fell in New York City on September 11th at 5:22, collapsed in his own footprint, a 40-story building just collapsed in his own footprint, when at 5:02, 20 minutes earlier, BBC had their live correspondent on the scene, and over her right shoulder was the building standing perfectly calm, She's reporting at 5:02. You can watch this on YouTube. She's reporting that the building has collapsed, but yet it doesn't collapse until 20 minutes later. Why is it when buildings such as the Pentagon, or even go better, let's talk about the Shanksville, Pennsylvania, side of a mountain, the plane hits the ground. You can watch the YouTube local news reports where the media is questioning, well, where's the airplane? It's just a small 12-foot by 12-foot crater in the ground. When airplanes hit hard ground, they explode. When they fall into the Everglades like Air Florida did years and years ago when I lived down in South Florida, I remember them pulling the airplane out of the mud almost fully intact because it was soft. But when it hits sides of mountains, they explode and debris is everywhere. And if you look at the local news reports in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you'll see that there's no airplane parts anywhere.
Yeah.
Nothing, just a hole in the ground. So why is it, my question back to the question, why is it okay to call those 9/11 truthers kooks when it's okay to question, and I do question this fire, by the way, and I'm in agreement with you. There is questions on this, and I'll leave it up to you to give me some response on that. Thank
all
you.
All right, yeah. Well, I mean, look, that's a great question. I know a lot of people do believe that they 9/11, you know, what happened 9/11 wasn't the way it was described. The thing about 9/11 is we watched. I mean, I watched the planes hit the buildings. I mean, we saw that live on the news. We have video of that. We have video of both the towers being hit. It was broadcast live. You saw them come toppling down. And again, I'm no engineer, but I just assume that when buildings come down, there's a lot of collateral damage. And those other buildings that were collapsed or that fell were just, I mean, you've got tons and tons of dust and crater and steel and vibrations and whatnot, just weakening them to the point where they're just like, screw it, I'm out. But here, there was no visual apparent reason for it. There was no, we didn't see a candle get knocked over. We didn't hear an explosion. There was no surveillance footage of a guy like, you know, like with the Belgian airport. We saw the terrorists pushing their bombs on the luggage cart. We saw the explosions. We knew exactly what happened. Here, you don't have that. So I think if you don't have it, it's okay to say, it's a little more okay to question it and say, was it really construction? Is that just a cop-out? I mean, look, they're saying, why today? Why now? Well, we were doing construction. Perhaps that's it. Are construction workers, are they really that flippant and unresponsible that they're just irresponsible, that they're just going to cause fires and run away? Does that happen? I mean, even if it was construction and a fire was started, would they just let it burn? I mean, don't they have a way to put it out? If I'm at my house and I'm building something, and this hasn't happened in a long time, but if I'm at my house and I'm building something and I accidentally catch something on fire, I will do my best to put the fire out. I had for my birthday several years ago, or someone's birthday. I think it was my mother's birthday, which is today, by the way. Happy birthday, Gigi. But on my mother's birthday, we had her over for a barbecue. And I think I left, like, I don't know, some kind of fish or chicken on the grill. Totally forgot about it. It went up in flames. And my daughter started screaming. And I didn't just say, run, get out, let it burn. I went and I put it out as best I could. And then I threw the grill on the curb. I told the story last week, and then the trash picker guy came and he picked it all up. But basically, it just seems too convenient to me as a brush off theory that it was construction crews. Back to your theory about 9/11. Look, I mean, we could debate that over and over and over again. But I think the fact that there was visual evidence or people watching these planes, I mean, we know that the planes flew into the building. I know there's people that are gonna be like, no, they didn't. But I mean, I watched it with my own eyes on TV. Looked like the planes hit the building. That seems like the cause. That seems like terrorism to me. I don't know what's going to happen with this thing. But right now, this also, and I think we're on the same side, because this also seems like terrorism of some kind. Not necessarily radical Islamic terrorists, not necessarily ISIS, not necessarily Al-Qaeda or whatever, or Al Jazeera or whatever. I don't even know. But some kind of person who wished harm on that building or on the people and the church that it represented. 855-765-1045. Josh on I-10 westbound. Josh, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Mark. How are you doing today?
Doing good, man. What'd you want to say, sir?
Yeah. My theory is I got a quasi good hunch about this Notre Dame thing.
Okay.
That the French Marcon is going to go ahead and talk to Mueller. Mueller's going to recommend Jacques Clouseau, and Clouseau is going to be on the case, and then they'll have the resolve of the Notre Dame issue. But if somebody was using an angle grinder and they were shooting sparks. You know, sparks could very well cause wood to burn when they say that embers, you know, from a forest fire will, you know, can travel over however many miles and cause fire. So that's what I hear. You know, that's the word on the street is that Inspector Clouseau will be on the case.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited to know that they're going to have that they're bringing out the that they're bringing out the experts on this. 855-765-1045 is the number. 855-765-1045. I thought he was going to make a Quasimodo joke there for a minute when he said, I have a quasi idea why this happened. But it was more of an Inspector Clouseau thing. Anyway, 855-765-1045. We got some of your phone calls on that. I think we have a couple more hat calls or cap calls, pardon me. And then coming up in just a minute, we got to talk about this cup at the Amp. Because $3, man, for a cup that's going to end up in the trash anyway? SMH. That's all I'm going to say. 855-765-1045. More of the Markay Show coming up on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the Markay Show, 855-765-1045. And, of course, the day after the flames are out at the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, France, the conspiracy theories are just getting fired up.
Also, it could have been the guy who they moved his desk down to the basement and took his stapler. He flat out said he was going to burn the place down.
That is a great reference to Office Space. I love it. Randy from Jacksonville. How are you, Randy?
Doing fine, thanks.
Oh, good. What'd you want to say, sir?
Okay, when I first heard the story, I completely believed that it was the workers.
Mm-hmm.
French workers are notoriously the most laziest workers on the planet. They think a 35-hour work week is too much. And they take hour breaks and maybe put in 3 hours in an 8-hour day. So I'm not surprised they burned the place down because they're just probably incompetent.
All right. So you're of the mindset that it was the incompetent, lazy French construction workers.
Oh, absolutely. There is just too many stories out there. You need to look up the story about the French tire company that was owned by Goodyear that wanted to close.
Oh, okay. Do I have to look it up? I guess I'll just look it up later. The other Josh. Google that for me. 8557. Somebody on our Twitch channel earlier today said, you know, the French, they do smoke a lot, which is true. Last time I was in Paris, which was a long time ago, it was also the first time I was in Paris. I remember at the hotel, we checked into the hotel and we got into the elevator. And not only was there somebody smoking in the elevator, which is a closed, small, enclosed like space, there was an ashtray in the elevator, which led me to believe that they actually condoned smoking in the elevator, which they smoke everywhere. In France, the country is one big, ginormous ashtray. You put your butt wherever you want. So maybe someone was smoking up there. But again, it just seems like, why now? You know, why did it take 1,000 years? Because they've been smoking in France for a long time. They've been burning candles in that church for over a century. When they built the thing, they probably had to do it with oil lanterns. And now, all of a sudden, today in 2019, now it burns down? Jim from the North Side, how are you?
Hey, Mark. I just want to comment on that cap hat deal.
Oh, yeah, the cap hat deal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. To me, like a hat would be like a cowboy hat, and a cap would be like baseball. But what about golf? Is it a golf hat or a golf cap? Because I tend to call it a golf hat.
Yeah, I call it – the only thing I ever call a cap is – there's two things. There's the baseball cap. And then there's the cap and gown, which if you go by the whole hat concept of a brim that goes all the way around, a cap and gown has a brim that goes all the way around or really all the way a square. And so it seems to me like the two are just interchangeable. But some people, they just aren't they aren't happy with that. They aren't happy with that definition. Ron in Orange Park. What's up, Ron? How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you doing, bud?
Good. What's up?
Hi. In reference to the cathedral, there's too many coincidences here. But chances are we'll never hear about it. I'm actually more surprised that we haven't heard that Donald Trump was behind it and he had the fire set so he could set up a new Trump Towers on that location.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one. That's a good one. I hadn't heard that one yet. I was shocked, too. That's what we said earlier today. Like, where are the reports of MAGA hat wearing, you know, haters burning the church down? You know, like Jussie Smollett in that whole case in Chicago. Wait, yeah, maybe Donald Trump, you're right. He wanted to make way for a new Trump Tower in Paris. That's something we hadn't heard either. He is getting blamed for having the brilliant idea of dumping water on it, which I think is what you do. And, you know, I'm sure he wasn't the only person sitting around thinking, why don't they dump water on it from the air? I mean, I'm sure I thought that. He just made the mistake of tweeting it out, and then everyone made fun of him. Travis in Jacksonville. What's up, Travis? How are you?
Hey, Mark. Pleasure to speak to you.
Oh, ditto.
My thought is that if evidence is ever found that this was some type of terrorist act, that the authorities are going to squash it.
You think they're going to squash it?
Yeah, they'll squash it. They'll maintain the narrative that it was a construction fire because I think they're so dedicated to minimalizing anything that would stoke the flames of Islamophobia.
Yeah. I mean, there is a huge Muslim population in Paris and in France and really in every part of the European community now. And in fact, there are neighborhoods, I guess, in Paris especially, there are neighborhoods that you just don't go into. The police don't go into those neighborhoods because they're run by the Muslims and they live and do their own thing. And the police are scared to go in there and they've kind of taken over. So look, the fact that this happens in a place like Paris, in a Catholic church, in the whole, during the holiest week of the year, that's just way too cool. I mean, 5 minutes after it closed, way too many coincidences. Something is going on. 855-765-1045. Quick, we got some more interesting conspiracy theories coming up. Jorge, Craig, Tony, everybody hang tight. We'll be right back on News 104.5 WOKV. 855-765-1045 is the number. By the way, a couple things we still need to talk about. These cups in St. Augustine, which are just causing so much ire. And Bernie Sanders moving into first place. Joe Biden, that guy, it took a couple weeks, but apparently his poll numbers are shrinking with all the touchy-feely, scandally stuff going on. And with the rise of Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg. Is that right? I think we need Adam Kirk in here. I just need to point at him whenever I need to say his name because I for the life of me, can't pronounce it. 855-765-1045. Before we get to that, though, a couple more conspiracy theories about what happened in Notre Dame. Jorge, how are you, Jorge? Good morning.
Hey, Mark, you're a great guy. Just let me start off by saying that. You have a great show, man.
Well, thanks, Jorge. I appreciate it because of great people like you calling in. What do you want to say, sir?
Hey, look, I know nobody said anything about the Catholics themselves, but I think the Catholics have a conspiracy going. You know how they've been under the microscope and how they've been getting in trouble for playing around with the little boys and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
I think that there's something in that church that they're trying to hide, and this construction thing is just the thing for them to hide it with. Burn it down, no evidence of anything.
I mean, so you think there's evidence in Notre Dame, and rather than just burn the evidence, they burn the whole church?
Why not?
I mean, that seems extreme. It's a good point.
It is extreme.
I have seen some people on Facebook, and I do appreciate your call, Jorge. I have seen some people on Facebook that were very angry with the Catholic Church and saying, this is retribution, this is karma, this is God, this is like Sodom and Gomorrah for all the sins of the priests and that kind of thing. And there are people like to think whenever something tragic happens, there's people that are happy about it. But those same people that are saying that are basically in bed now with ISIS, who this morning just said, oh, happy day or happy days are here again or something with photos of Notre Dame burning. So yes, whenever one group loses something important to them, other groups will be thrilled by it. As far as the Catholic Church burning it to the ground on its own, that just seems extreme. Craig in Palm Coast, how you doing, Craig?
Good, good. How are you, Mark?
Doing great. Thanks so much for asking. What do you want to say, sir?
Well, I've been there, done that, and there are hundreds of cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
I want to know, why hasn't somebody spoken up? Where are the feeds for these videos going to? I know some of them must be closed circuit, but not all.
Yeah.
There's got to be some wireless as well. I'm hoping that maybe there's a hacker out there that was logged into their video and somebody's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're right. That's the one thing about Europe that is very different than the United States. Great Britain, especially, and France and other cities, they are wired. They have cameras everywhere, and they can literally follow you around the city with their closed circuit television cameras. So evidence, look, there's going to be a lot of evidence, I'm sure, for them to pour through. There's going to be a lot of these cameras. There's going to be people. Don't forget, there were people that were just exiting Notre Dame. They're going to be looking at photos. They're going to be calling. I had a friend on Facebook who was there yesterday morning, and he was posting his photos saying, we took these at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., we were some of the last people to ever be allowed in the place. We were some of the last people to be in Notre Dame before it burned, because that afternoon the thing went up in flames. And I guarantee that authorities are going to be looking at everyone's photos. They're going to be like, send us your pictures. We need to see what happened. And they're going to be combing through them looking for anything they can find that is out of the ordinary. And I imagine, yes, there were some cameras somewhere. I imagine somebody got their drone out as soon as the smoke started and started flying it around. I imagine that when you look on Twitter and YouTube and everybody who was just pulling out their camera phones and taking photos, I imagine there's going to be a lot of stuff they could piece together, and hopefully they figure it out, and hopefully they share it with us, because somebody else called and said, even if they figure out it was terrorism, they ain't going to tell nobody. Tony in Jacksonville. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, an earlier caller called. Trying to clear my throat.
Yeah.
An earlier caller called and mentioned 9/11, and you say you saw the planes hit the building.
Yeah.
But you didn't see the plane hit the third building. The third building was called Building 7.
Building 7, and, yeah. No, I did not see that, actually. You're right.
And Jane Stanley, he was talking about their news reporter reporting that the building already fell.
Yeah.
When it's over her shoulder. So that's what he was talking about.
Okay. All right. No, that's a good point. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Tony. I appreciate that. Can you name the song? Let me clear my throat. Anyway, 855-765-1045 is the number, 855-765-1045. All right, so I'll switch gears just a little bit, because here's what's going on in St. Augustine that is causing a lot of open mics to come in and a lot of ire with our community. What they're going to start doing is they're going to start charging you for a reusable, recyclable St. Augustine Amphitheater Cup. And what happens is now when you go to buy a drink, they're going to charge you $3 for this cup. And then I guess you go up and you pay to refill it, whether it's beer or soda or whatever. And then after it's all over, after it's all said and done, when the concert's over, you can take your dirty, sticky, beer-smelly cup with, you know, how it gets that gross smell. You can take it home with. You can leave the amphitheater with it, and you're welcome to bring it back. However, if you don't want to do that, what they're going to do is they're going to just, I assume, collect them or something. Is that how it works? Like they put them in a basket, and I would say clean them and then reuse them. So you pay the $3 and you can then just keep the cup. And this is all an environmentally friendly program, by the way. They say that if they sell out a venue, and and everyone has two drinks, for example, if we have a sold out show, says Diana Markovitz, that's 4,700 people here. You multiply that by two, that's 9,000 single-use plastic cups that end up in the landfill or recyclable or in the ocean. And that's a lot. She says if you take the cup home, you can always bring it back to use at another show. And that's a big deal, because last year the venue sold over 300,000 single-use cups. She says the $3 souvenir cup, if you want to have a drink, you must buy. But you can get your money back at the end of the night if you don't want to take it home. So it's like a rental cup program. You go in there, you pay $3, you rent the cup, you drink all night, you go turn your cup back in, and they will give you $3 back. So now, here's how I'm guessing this works. You stand in a big long line, you pay $3, you get your cup, you fill it up, you enjoy the concert, you drink your drink, and then on the way out, you stand in another line to get your $3 back. Or you can take your sticky smelly cup to your car, take it home, wash it yourself, and bring it back to the next show. This is, again, something they say, not about the money. It's part of the AMP's Green Hands program and R.Cup. This is the first concert venue to establish a permanent deal to use the reusable cups. And I believe there's a show tonight out there. Isn't there a show tonight? And this is going to be the first time they're using it. So just know that you're going to be charged $3 extra for the cup. You can get the money back at the end of the show, or you can keep the cup and bring it back with you. Because that's what you want to do when you're headed out to a concert. You want to make sure you bring your own cup, BYOC. 855-765-1045. What do you guys think about this reusable cup idea at the St. Augustine Amphitheater? Is this a good idea, or is this something that it seems like it's more trouble than it's worth? 855-765-1045. 104.5. It's the Markay Show. Quick break. Your phone calls coming up. All right, so it's the Markay Show. If you're headed out to the St. Augustine Amphitheater, pack $3 extra. You're going to need it to rent a cup. That's the new thing. They're not going to give you a cup to throw away. They're going to rent you one for $3. You drink out of it all night, and then you can either A, take it home with you and bring it back the next time, or B, you can turn it back in and get your money back. And then I guess they reuse them. It's all part of an environmentally friendly effort to, I guess, be friendly to the environment.
The cup idea in St. Augustine's interesting. It sounds something that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had thought up.
It does a little bit, doesn't it?
Who's going to want to take home a souvenir cup that's been rented out a half a dozen or more times?
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you get it, like, let's say I go to a concert next week and they've already used the cup 5 times and I take it home. It's like basically I'm taking home a used cup that cost me $3.
I don't think the whole reusable cup thing's very sanitary. Who's cleaning these cups when they return them? What are they doing with them? Are they sanitizing them? Are they destroying them? What are they doing with them?
Yeah, are they even using hot water? Or are they just, maybe they're just like throwing them back in a state? You never know. You're absolutely right.
Instead of selling one, why don't they just ask you to bring your own?
Because people would be bringing all kinds of inappropriate things. You know, that would be
it. It just sounds gross to me.
Yeah, star 855-765-1045 or star 1045. This is David in World Golf Village. How you doing, David?
Hey, Mark. Love the show, buddy. Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
Real quick. Yeah, my main question was, what do they do with the cups afterwards? Do they wash and reuse? Do they recycle? Do they throw them in a landfill? You know, ultimately, they're going to end up in a landfill.
Oh, yeah.
And some of your other callers already addressed that, so I'll just tell you one last parting thought. I'm driving in my car, and your car screener told me to turn off my radio, and I spent 2 miles trying.
Oh, looks like you turned off.
Turn off the radio.
Yeah, looks like you almost turned off your phone. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Kim in Oceanway, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Great, Kim. What do you think?
You know what? What do people do when they go to get a drink? They also go to the bathroom, Mark. I'm a registered nurse. They're going to be carrying these cups into the bathroom. Who knows if they wash their hands? Then they're going to hand these cups to the food service worker who are going to put them up against the drink nozzles. And there you go. We're going to infect everybody with whatever funk some of these people have. I think it's disgusting.
No, that is a great point. You know what else people do with cups around here? They spit their tobacco juice into them, too. I see that all the time. I see people all the time at a show, and they're putting their cup up to their lip, and I go, what are they doing? Are they taking, like, the smallest sip ever? But I realize they're not withdrawing. They're depositing into that cup. And I don't want somebody's old skull juice sitting in a cup that I'm potentially going to be drinking beer out of. You're absolutely right about that. 855-765-1045. And let's face it, most of these cups, you're going to get in your car, you're going to throw in the back seat, and you're going to forget about it. And the next time you need to go to the amphitheater, you're going to be like, oh, where's that cup? And you're going to, like, rummage around, you're going to be like, where's that cup? I know it's in here. So there it is. And you're going to blow. But it's good as new. And you're right. They're going to put that cup under the drink nozzle, and you don't know it. You don't know at all how dirty it is. They should not be allowed to. If I bring something into the venue, if I bring a cup from home, or if I've been drinking, like, with my mouth on the cup, how can they refill that? Isn't that against, like, 92 different laws? Isn't that a health code violation? If I get a beer, and I put my lip to the cup, and I drink that beer, or let's say a soda, because I guess beer is more a tap. But if I put my lip to that cup, and I drink out of it, and I chug that beer, and I hand it back to her, that soda, and I put they put it under the nozzle, you're right. Potentially, they could be touching my lip to that nozzle. It just doesn't make any sense. Ed in Jacksonville. How are you, Ed?
I'm great, Mark. Listen, from an environmental standpoint, just go back to using paper cups. A lot of restaurants in town are using them now, and paper straws as well.
Yeah, the paper straws. I mean, that makes perfect sense, too, because that's all recyclable, and that doesn't matter if it ends up in the landfill. And, you know, I guess if you make it strong enough, you can pour a beer. You can drink a beer out of a paper cup, no problem, right?
Absolutely. And have you ever seen the YouTube video of the sea turtle? They had to take a plastic straw out of its nostrils.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
It sure does. You know what would they do? Because I was just at the Kenny Chesney show last week, and I ordered a beer, and they just gave it to me in the can. What if they just served cans? You know, you can get soda in a can, beer in a can. You can get wine in a can, or, you know, it looks like one of those little juice boxes. But what if they just went back, instead of fountain drinks, they just went back to canned drinks? It's probably too expensive. That's probably why. But they would just pass that expense. Instead of charging me $3 for a rented cup, why don't you just charge me more for a can of beer?
As I always say, screw paying all that money at the amphitheater. I'll stick to my flask and my boot.
That's good. The old, there's a flask in my boot. 855-765-1045. You got to make sure it's plastic, though, so you can get through the metal detectors. 855-765-1045. Quick break. More of your phone call. What do you think about this? What do you think about this reusable cup idea at the Amp? St. Augustine Amphitheater, they're charging you $3 to rent a cup. So the next time you go, you're renting a used cup. Shouldn't it be cheaper the next time you go? Like, you're renting a used cup. It should only be $1. Star Star 1045. More of your phone calls, more of your open mic messages coming up on The Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. A lot of people commenting on the rent-a-cup program to help the environment at the St. Augustine Amphitheater. No more cups. You just rent a cup, you use it, you turn it back in when you're done, you get your money back, or you just keep it and bring it back with you.
Either they didn't think this through, or they wanted to run it through you first and see what we thought here. I'd like to think the latter.
Man, they're probably paying a penny a cup. Sounds like a huge unsanitary money grab.
They're not paying $3 a piece for those cups.
Oh, we want people to bring them back. That's why we're charging $3.
Oh, come on. It's about the money.
$3 for an empty cup. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. Got chains of 100.
Okay, thank you. Sure, like what? Here's the thing. What happens if let's say I buy a cup and it costs me $3 and they take it home with me, and then I go to another concert at the St. Augustine Amphitheater and I forget my cup? Can I say, hey, you know what? I already bought a cup, but I left it at home. Do I have to buy another cup, or will they just loan me one since I already purchased? If they, you know what they should really do is they should just give you like a little card. Like you get, you know, so you can go, you swipe your cup and they can be like, okay, or an app, like you scan your phone. And I don't know. It just seems weird. Roger, calling from the road. Roger, how you doing? Thanks for calling the Mark Kay Show.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking the call. I believe this cup issue has a potential of not being good for the driver going home. Each cup that is taken from the venue will become a potential open container, leading to a possible arrest for a DUI, maybe.
No, you're right. What if you get pulled over by the cops and he goes, do you have anything to drink today? And you go, nope. He goes, what's that St. Augustine Amphitheater cup in the back there? Let me smell that real quick. I see what you're saying. You don't want an old stinky beer cup in your car. You don't want the cop going, you smell like beer. Get out of here and walk a straight line. Especially if you're drunk, you don't want that to happen. Hey, Brenda in Florida. How are you, Brenda?
I'm fine. He just took my fire there.
Oh, no.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Why don't you use paper cups? I mean, you know, they're recycled. I mean, you can put them in a landfill. They'll rot. Use them for fertilizer. My goodness.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for calling. We had another guy with another idea on our open mics.
Why not use hemp cups? Environmentally friendly, and you can throw them away when you're done.
Or you roll them up and smoke them. Either one of those would be, you know, it's like a dual use. Sean in Jacksonville. How you doing, Sean?
Good. How are you?
Great. What do you want to say about the reusable cup proposal now at the St. Augustine Amphitheater?
I mean, I see both sides, but, you know, when you go to a restaurant or a bar, when you're sitting at the bar getting a draft beer, it's served in a glass cup. And they wash those with a wash, rinse, sanitized solution, which is not much difference. And when you're at a restaurant drinking sodas, you know, those dirty cups get thrown into a dirty bus tub with other people eating food.
Yeah.
And their hands and mouth are all over it.
No,
and
I mean,
they just go.
You're right about that. Anytime you go to a restaurant, they're doing the same thing. They're reusing the cups and the glasses and the forks and the knives and. I mean, I guess it's for whatever reason, a plastic cup at a concert just seems a lot dirtier than anything that you're using in a restaurant. Because, you know, what happens when you go to the show? You put your cup down on the ground where people are walking around. I don't ever put my glass at the bar down on the ground unless I'm really hammered. If I lose my footing. But I mean, that's a good point too. That's a good point, too. You do. In fact, just the other day, we were at brunch, and my wife's coffee mug had, like, some lipstick on it that wasn't hers, that's the most disgusting thing in the entire world. Bruce in Jacksonville. How you doing, Bruce?
Hey, good. Appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely. What did you want to say, sir?
Well, I just want to say I'm not the biggest green fan. I'm truly not.
But, yeah.
Like, get over it. It's $3. How often do you go to the amphitheater? Buy a new cup each time you go. What's the big deal?
It's not a new cup, though. It's a recycled cup. You're not getting a fresh, brand new cup. That's the problem. If you go, you're getting a dirty old cup that they've recycled God knows how many times.
Well, but like you say, if it's washed in a dishwasher, what's the difference in a restaurant?
Well, at a restaurant, they also don't charge you for it, too. Like, let's be honest. If you go to a bar and they say, and you say, I want a beer, they go, all right, $7 for the beer or $5 or whatever. They don't say $7 for the beer and $3 for the cup. And when you're done with your beer, give me the glass back and I'll give you your $3 back. So why don't they just then charge you for the beer and say, you know, like you can't leave with your cup. That's if you're going to use reusable stuff, just get rid of all the trash cans. Get rid of all the trash cans, and just like a restaurant, you go in, you order a beer, you drink out of the plastic cup, and you put it down somewhere, and you hire someone to pick it up and clean it. Why then charge anything at all? If your goal is to buy cups that don't have to be recycled, that don't end up in the landfill, if your goal is to buy cups that you can reuse, then you're a restaurant. That's what all restaurants do. Why are you charging me $3 for the cup? The restaurant doesn't charge for the cup. The restaurant doesn't charge for the fork. The restaurant doesn't charge for the napkin that you put on your lap. They don't say, would you like a napkin for your lap? $2. And when you're done with your meal, give me the napkin back and I'll refund you. But that doesn't happen. Jorge in San Marco. How you doing, Jorge?
Doing great, Mark. I think that the amphitheater could take a marketing page from electronics and computer companies and maybe give you the used cups a little cheaper and call them refurbished.
Yeah. Is it a used iPhone? No, it's refurbished. Oh, wow. That sounds fancy. That sounds really, yeah, refurbished iPhone. That's the way to go. And it's much cheaper than it's just like a new one, only it's much cheaper. I like that idea. Or you could do like they do on HGTV and just say it's shabby chic. You know, it's antique. It's vintage. Is that a new cup? No, this cup is vintage. Oh, wow. My wife loves vintage stuff. Give me two of them. 855-765-1045. We do have somebody with a positive comment.
It's a way to be proactive instead of reactive. It's unlike the California straw ban where it's forced on people, and I think this is a good thing.
And again, if you don't like it, no one's forcing you to go to the St. Augustine Amphitheater for the show. You know, you can go. I don't know, Daly's Place. The Daly's Place, there's trash everywhere. And I was there, like I said, for Kenny Chesney. There were cups overflowing. You know, it's a country show. That's going to happen. 855-765-1045 is the number. 855-765-1045. Next time you go to the St. Augustine Amphitheater, bring $3 extra and be prepared to drink out of a shared cup. You know, I just thought of something. When I go to church every Sunday, I drink out of a cup that like everyone else has drank out of too. And they don't even sanitize in between. They just wipe it with a handkerchief. And you know, next in line, the other Josh, like, you've never been to a Catholic church. That's what happens. You know, body of Christ, blood of Christ, take a sip. They wipe it. Next. That's why I always sit in the front row. Cause I want the fewest lips touching that chalice as possible before I take a swig. 855-765-1045. Quick break. We got more of your phone calls. We got more of your open mic messages. We got more of you coming up on the Mark Kaye Show on News 104.5 WOKV. Live from the Jacksonville Theater, this is the Mark Kaye Show. I'm Mark Kaye. Thanks so much for joining us today. Before we get out of here, we're going to give away a Carrabba's gift card. We have a $100 Carrabba's gift card, which is awesome. And they deliver now, too, which is really cool. First of all, let's go back to the phones and talk a little bit more about these disposable cups. Or, I'm sorry, recyclable cups. They're not disposable. You go to the St. Augustine Amphitheater, you pay $3. You can either A, keep the cup when you're done with it, or you can B, turn it in and get your money back. And it's supposed to be some kind of environmentally friendly, yada, yada, yada. John in St. Augustine, how you doing, John?
Hey, Mark, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great, man. What'd you want to say about these cups?
Well, thanks for clearing those two issues up, because that's what I was going to ask you. If they let you take the cup home or if you have to give it back, I guess if they let you take the cup home and you bring it back, that would be obviously smarter because you know it's going to be clean, right?
Yeah.
Are they offering any refills if you buy this plastic cup, or is it just you buy the cup and, you know, keep buying more beers? Because,
it's not like a bottomless cup for $3. Is that what you thought? That would be great. No one would be complaining about that. Give me $3 for a cup and it's bottomless. That would be awesome. That's not at all what they're doing. It's $3 for the cup when you get there. And then as you get it refilled, you're going to still pay for your drinks. Now, I don't know if the drinks are going to be discounted at all. I would assume Probably not, because let's be honest, it's still a business. But I don't know. That seems to be the case. Look, it's I guess it's a commemorative cup. It's not just like an ugly cup. It's going to have, I don't know, the amphitheater on it or whatever. Kind of like at the Players. I don't know if you guys went to the Players, but at the Players, you go up and you order a Sawgrass Splash, which I did several times, and it comes in a commemorative cup. And I go, how much if I don't want the commemorative cup? And they go, well, it's the same price. You just get it in a regular plastic cup. So I would get the commemorative cup, which I never keep. I would just I left on the table, and some kid like picked it up and took it home, or maybe the other Josh is, I don't know, he's drinking at it at his house. Who knows? But you know, I just wanted the drink inside, so I paid an exorbitant amount of money because it came in a commemorative cup. 855-765-1045 is the number. Now, if it were something that you really wanted to save, if it was something you really wanted to, for example, my kids always wanted the little sharks when we went to Joe's Crab Shack. So I always had to order like the shark drink, and I had to order the shark drink just to get them the shark. And I had this bleeding blue gross drink, but whatever. Diana from the St. Augustine Amphitheater. How are you, Diana?
I'm fantastic. How are y'all?
Good. Do you work at the amphitheater, or are you just hanging out front?
Nope, I am the marketing and community relations manager.
Oh, so you can probably shed some light on this.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to.
Okay, great. Shed some light on it for us.
Okay, sorry. I was waiting for the
meeting. Yeah. All right, so what happens? So, when does this cup thing go into effect? Does it happen today?
It goes on tomorrow. We have Leon Bridges tomorrow night, and so we're rolling out the program tomorrow.
Okay.
So you will have, yes.
So I show
up the R cup in full effect.
All right. So if I show up and what do I do? Do I have to go to a separate place to get the cup, or is it the first time I order a drink?
First time you order a drink, you go to the concessionaires and you say, "Hey, I'd like a beer, or I'd like a Coca-Cola." Okay, cool. So here's your beer, your Coca-Cola. With that order, you also put down a $3 deposit for this reusable cup, and we've got it three different sizes.
All right. So how much for like a domestic beer?
It's like $6-$7.
So $10 total for the cup and the beer.
Yes.
Now, was the beer $7 before you started bringing in the recyclable cups, or is it cheaper now that we're not using regular cups?
Nope, it's not cheaper now. I mean, we already have extremely low concessionaire costs in comparison to our other venues,
okay.
In comparison to other local venues. So we already have low costs there. The situation is that you aren't spending any more money, because at the end of the night, you can return your cup and get your $3 back. So you return it in cash.
Let's talk about that. Do I have to stand in line to return my cup on the way out?
We have we'll have up to 8 to 10 R cup representatives on site to quickly process those refunds.
Okay.
And all you have to do is give them the cup, and you get $3 right there.
There's no
like, hey, show us your proof of purchase.
But I can leave and bring the cup back at a later date and just use it.
Yes, and you do not have to pay another $3 deposit.
All right. Now, what happens to the cups then? They're recycled, or they're cleaned and put back on the shelf? Is that basically it?
So just like what you do at a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, right? You have a pint glass, you order a beer.
Yeah.
That night, that glass gets fully cleaned, sanitized, and put back into rotation. That is the same exact situation that we're doing at the amphitheater. They go home that night, get completely cleaned and sanitized, and put back into rotation.
All right, but let me ask you this question. When I go to the restaurant and they bring me a glass of whatever, they don't charge me $3 to use the glass while I'm there.
Not that you know of, but we're not charging you. You are putting a deposit down. It says if you go to a locker, right, you go to the airport, or you go to any other place, and you have to put a deposit down to rent something, right?
Right.
You have to put your belongings in it, so you put your deposit down. We're not charging you. You can get that money back. We encourage you to return the cup.
But why would you need to, if it were like a restaurant, then why not just pick up the cups when people are done with them and clean them that way?
Because those are not reusable cups. We are using reusable cups. Those single-use cups are like pennies to buy, and we're trying to reduce that 8,000 cup waste at the end of every show.
No, I understand that. But like, for example, if I go to a restaurant and I order a glass of wine and I drink the wine, I leave it on the table and you guys clean it, and there's no additional charge or deposit. I don't have to rent it. Why don't you just use these cups and say, hey, when you're done with it, just put it on the shelf over there, and then you can clean it that way.
Well, you don't know that you aren't being charged for that cup. Like, your glass of wine is probably $12 to $14, whereas if you just bought the bottle, the bottle's probably $12. You don't know how a restaurant wraps in that cost.
Right, but your beers are $7. I mean, there's upselling that, too.
Right, but it's not, it all comes out in the same situation. Whether or not, everyone has to cover their costs, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has to. What we're saying is, you can return that cup and you will get your $3 back. We're not charging you for the cup. It is incentive for you to return the cup.
I see.
All right. You will get your $3 back.
Diana, hey, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and thanks so much for listening, too. We appreciate it. And good luck. This kicks off tomorrow night. What's the concert?
Leon Bridges.
Are there still tickets available?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, go to the box office, get some tickets to Leon Bridges, and if you go and use this cup, let us know how it turned out. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. We got to go. We got the news and Rush Limbaugh coming up next on News 104.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.